love is gentle, faithful, swift, passionate, blind, and wondrous. All these are faces of love. In a moment, young Kate Wakefield, venturing into today's world of confusing freedoms, brought to you by Loving Care Color Lotion from Clairol.
Hi, I'm the teacher, and that's Roland Gibbs on drums. He drew my picture last week with gray hair, me with 11 grays. I gave hair coloring a second thought. I found out about Loving Care Color Lotion from Clairol. It has no peroxide, doesn't change my natural color, and it's good for my hair. Loving Care covered my grays and made my hair softer and shinier. Gotta give the kid credit.
Loving Care Color Lotion from Clairol. It's good for your hair. How do you get the most out of an antiperspirant? The answer may be using Ban Roll-On. Tests have shown that Ban Roll-On helps stop wetness better than most leading sprays. And Ban Roll-On costs about the same, yet lasts longer than most 5 or 6 ounce sprays. Averaging 2 seconds of spray per application, each side, each day, the longest lasting of the leading antiperspirant sprays gives you 37 days of protection. On the average, Ban Roll-On will give you 51 days. That's 38% longer. Ban Roll-On. Why settle for less?
Joe, box the high school awards page one, and we'll run the nursing home story with a double head above it. A little sweet, a little sour.
Hi, David.
Oh, hi, Sparky.
Hey, what's a little sweet, a little sour?
Oh, press me. Have a seat, Nancy.
Thanks. Oh, am I interrupting?
You sure are. Everybody in the place. You've never come to the Belhaven Dispatch before, have you?
No.
Well, look around.
It, isn't very big, is it?
Neither is the newspaper, but we get it out.
I mean, you all sit here together? I thought you'd have a big, important private office guarded by a dragon secretary.
I have a big, important second-hand desk, and if I'm lucky, I get to open the window. Now, what can I do for you?
I want to place an ad.
You lose something?
Yeah, my mind. No, David, I can't find a job anywhere. If I stay around home any longer, I'm going to get the screaming.
I thought there was a nice college out there holding out its arms.
I'm not going back to that place this year.
Okay, okay.
Here is the ad. I wrote it myself.
Good for you.
Could you run it right away, you know, in the positions wanted column?
Sure, let's see. Girl, eager, willing, and able, will do anything to start.
And my phone number. It says everything, doesn't it?
It sure does. But we don't usually put it in the paper.
What's wrong with it?
Suppose I work on it a little bit.
Like what?
Well, now, let's see. Girl seeks a position with a future in established office.
Oh, David, no, that's absolutely grim. All I've got is future. I want the action now.
I got that idea. Well, leave it to me.
Will you give it some, you know, some vibe?
All that are printable, honey.
Well, okay, thanks. Will it get me a job?
If it doesn't, you come back and talk to me.
David, could I?
Anytime.
No, I mean like after work sometimes. Like, I could tell you all my hang-ups.
Have you got them bad?
Life is really crushing me.
We can't let that happen. Okay, we'll make a date.
But not tonight. I'm meeting Dad. He's coming up on the 5-something or other. He'll probably meet Kate.
Is Kate coming up tonight?
Didn't you know? I met Mrs. Jessup at the supermarket, and she told me. I figured you'd be the first one to know.
Honey, why don't you get more exercise and do less figuring?
That's so funny. Oh, David, if all else fails, will you be my dream man?
Yeah, if all else fails.
It's a long trip, Kate. I'm certain glad I ran into you.
I didn't know you ever went into the city, Jim.
Well, there was a lecture on new pediatrics I thought I should take in. Joy wouldn't come, of course.
Of course, he hates the city.
More than that, your sister hates to break her routine. Unless it's for a real vacation.
I guess I inherited all the restlessness in the family.
Kate, you stuck it out in the Wakefield house longer than anybody should have.
And now I can't seem to settle anywhere.
Well, there's probably a very good reason.
What does that mean?
Oh, Kate. I'm your brother-in-law, but I'm also your friend. You know that.
The best.
So you can talk to me if you want to.
Thank you.
Now, you hardly said a word the first hour of the trip.
Well, end of a long day, I guess. But I was glad to see you on the train.
I saw you first in the station. I just didn't want to interrupt.
Oh.
I just wanted you to know. And I was very happy to see that you weren't alone.
That was Tony Cushing. You've met him.
No, I didn't. I have never met Tony. I only heard everybody else talk about him, including my wife. He's a pretty handsome fellow.
Yes.
And I'm glad you've seen him, Kate. I can stop worrying about you.
I could leave it there, but I'm not going to, Jim. You saw Tony kiss me goodbye.
Oh, hell, Kate, I'm not spying on you. What do you take me for?
A kind, decent man. You saw Tony kiss me, and you jumped to conclusions.
Not a bit of it. Kissing is not only prevalent, it's catching.
Oh, Jim, dear.
Let's forget.
No, I'd like to set you straight. It'd be a relief, almost. And if you want to tell Joy, it's up to you.
What?
Tony's married.
Oh, rotten.
I've learned it this week.
Well, what in hell is he doing?
It's not the way you think, Jim. He hasn't a wife, not in any real sense. She left him.
Is that what he's telling you?
That's the way it is.
This is what aerosol hairspray sounds like. This is what Final Net sounds like. The big difference in the way they sound is the big difference in the way they work. Final Net is not an aerosol. It's concentrated to give you a great long-lasting hold. There are no wasteful propellants. That makes it economical, too. 8 ounces of Final Net go as far as 24 ounces of aerosol hairspray. You get a great hold at a great price. Final Net, the first sensible alternative to aerosol hairspray.
If I had a nickel for every minute I've spent in a dirty oven, scraping and scrubbing, oh, I'd be living in Fort Knox.
Well, there's a different way to clean your oven that's less work. The overnight way, with Mr. Muscle.
Oh, come on.
It's true. With Mr. Muscle, you just spray it on at night. And while you sleep, its self-scouring foam lifts up the grease and grime.
Really?
So next morning, you just wipe clean.
Well, Mr. Muscle really sounds like a good man to wake up to.
Here we are.
Dad! Oh, Dad!
There's Nancy, Kate. She'll drive us both home.
Great.
Joy will want you to dinner tomorrow.
Would you wait on that, Jim?
Sure.
And maybe on talking to Joy?
Oh, it would only make her unhappy. You do whatever you think is right, Kate, and I'll back you.
Thanks.
Dad!
Kate!
Oh, you made it. The car's right over there. Oh, Kate, you look smashing. Oh, is that a new suit? Oh, it's terrific. Oh, Dad, did you bring me that magazine for models?
Mm-hmm.
Kate, I cannot get over you. You look so divine. Sort of thin and interesting.
Right.
And different. That's what hard work will do. And a lot of love life.
Oh, for Pete's sake, Nancy. Already? Got the keys?
Oh, I left them in the car.
Oh, you never should, honey.
Dad, don't begin with me now.
Come on, get in.
Come on, we can all sit in front.
Right.
Okay, now tell me all about everything, Kate. Every solitary thing. Where shall I begin? The studio club, did you meet?
Kate has had a long day,
Nancy. That's all right, Jim. Meet whom, Nancy?
I guess you have had a long one. I'll be over tomorrow, okay?
Sure.
Oh, and I told David you were coming home, so you'll have a date.
Nancy, honestly.
Well, why not, Kate? He's the only fabulous male in Belhaven County. If you won't go out with him, I will.
David's nearly twice your age.
As if that matters. As if anything matters today. If you like a guy.
Oh, look, Jesse has all the lights on. Doesn't the old house look lovely?
But I wouldn't want to live there.
Are you sure you don't want to stay with us, Kate?
Oh, no, thanks. Isabel's away and Jesse's all alone. That's one of the reasons I came home. Give Joy my love and tell her I'll see her.
Oh, well, let me take your bag in.
Oh, no, please. Bye, everybody. And thanks.
Bye. Bye.
See you tomorrow.
Hello, Kate.
Jesse.
David!
I thought somebody should be home to greet you.
Oh, how nice of you.
That's me, ladies' home companion.
I mean it. How did you know I'd be feeling a little lost coming up this walk?
Well, how could you miss? Big barn of a house, nobody in it now.
Well, Jessie's there, isn't she?
Oh, sure, but a lot of other people aren't. Take your bag, lady.
Thanks. I just want to breathe the air for a minute, okay?
Yeah, we've got some up here.
I guess the trees are changing color.
It's beautiful, Kate. The hills, you've got to see them.
Will you come in, David?
I want to say something first.
Okay.
Right here on the porch.
What is it?
Faye likes to read every gossip column from the city papers. You know, the beautiful people stuff?
Yes.
She showed me the item about Mrs. Anthony Cushing.
Oh.
It's the same Tony Cushing?
Yes. He's married.
Tough break. But I had to let you know that I knew.
Well, it's no secret now.
Yeah. Well, maybe I better go along tonight.
Okay.
It shouldn't have happened, Kate. To a nice girl like you.
Faces of Love has been brought to you by Mr. Muscle, the oven cleaner that works the easy overnight way. This program comes to you from the Radio Playhouse. Studio presents the radio dramatization of William Makepeace Thackeray's classic novel, Vanity Fair, the story of the clever and charming adventuress, Becky Sharp. In a moment, our author, Mr. Thackeray. The Author Studio is brought to you by Four-Way Nasal Spray. Gives you the fastest decongestant possible.
Uncle Thaddeus, can I ask you something?
Don't ask for money.
It's this cold, Unc.
Nephew, you need four-way nasal spray.
Will it help?
Use as directed, four-way provides the fastest decongestant relief possible for stuffy noses and sinuses.
Unc, that's a blast. Is it expensive?
Nah, four-way costs a darn sight less than the leading brand. You can't buy faster relief at any price.
I'm gonna get some four-way.
Maybe you've got a nose for business after all.
As anyone knows, hair is only as beautiful as the condition it's in. Natural Wear Miss Clairol shampoo formula conditions while it colors, makes your hair healthy looking and manageable while it adds natural glowing color that covers gray. And it's so easy to use. Just shampoo it in for fresh young color that stays color true week after week. For conditioning hair color, the best it can be, at any price, Natural Wear Miss Clairol, to know you're the best you can be.
Thank you, dear listeners, for being with us. And once again, William Makepeace Thackeray, your devoted servant and author of this chronicle. Today, I have in store for you a bit of fire and brimstone. On this night of which I write, Miss Rebecca Sharp is in sulphurous temper. Sir Pitt, I am happy to say, has been rendered sober by large portions of roast beef and sundry other victuals. But dinner proved unrelieved tedium for him, for Rawdon, for Miss Crawley. Now, in the Chartreuse drawing room, all wish Becky would descend from her ladyship's apartment and amuse them.
Pitt, do stop fiddling with your forelock! You've little enough hair on your pate as it is.
Yeah, if I had a spot of brandy...
You've had enough to drink for one day. For one month, I should say. Oh, Rawdon, stop fidgeting.
Oh, was I?
What can be keeping Rebecca?
How the devil could anyone stay this long in the company of Lady Crawley?
I'm sure you'd not know. She's only your wife.
No need to remind me.
And precious little you see of her.
Miss Rebecca seems quite to like her, Aunt Matilda.
I can't understand it.
If you ask me...
No one asked you, nor is likely to. I'm sure Rebecca has gone to bed.
Auntie, you told Giles to tell you if she did.
Oh, so I did. Well, what's keeping her then?
Well, likely she's asleep.
Well, you just heard Rawdon.
Bored to sleep by her ladyship in her ladyship's quarters.
For once, you've made a sensible suggestion. Rawdon, go to Lady Crawley's hideaway and fetch Rebecca.
No need, Miss Crawley. I'm here.
Miss Becky.
My dear child, what has kept you?
Fell asleep, I'll be bound.
Lady Crawley has fallen asleep. I marvel that she could.
Is something amiss?
A great deal is amiss.
Pray don't say she's ill. Her ladyship is forever ailing with one thing or another.
She is more than ill. Sir Pitt, I wish to speak to you alone on a matter of urgency.
You don't say. Jolly. Well, we go.
It is not jolly. Sir, you are my employer, and what I say may cost me my situation, but I shall say it. Come.
Oh, don't go, Rebecca. This holds great promise. What a serpent's glance you gave Sir Pitt. You're very angry, aren't you, dear?
I am more than angry. Shocked, furious, indignant, outraged.
At me?
At you.
Rawdon, do look at those green eyes.
Aunt Matilda, I don't believe this is a laughing matter.
Well, that may be as may be, but Rebecca obviously means to bring the Squire of Queen's Crawley to heel, and I long to hear it.
I am sorry, Miss Crawley. Come, Sir Pitt. The music room will do nicely.
I ain't well, bit off me feet.
Sir Pitt?
Yes, Becky. Come in.
Oh, do look at the little bantam obey a governess. One would think her mistress of this house and your papa at her tender mercies. What is she in a temper about?
It's a serious business, Auntie. It is, surely.
He does so dote on Rebecca and to have her angry with him. I shouldn't be surprised if he has an apoplexy.
Rawdon, how could you not admire her just now?
They did.
Oh, that at least speaks well for you. But I still cannot comprehend why you're not head over heels about her.
Well,
perhaps it's just as well. You've your lady, Blessington in London, and Rebecca has her, Oh, dear, I don't believe she named him, or if she did, I've quite forgot.
Has her what?
Her young man. She adores him. Lucky fellow, wouldn't you say?
Are you sure, Aunt?
Of course I am. Anyone would be fortunate to have Rebecca.
Are you sure she has a young man?
Well, what's the matter with you? Would I mention it otherwise? She told me of him yesterday, and how those green eyes shone. I do wish... Where are you going, dear boy?
Outside.
Whatever for?
Breath of air.
Oh, don't leave me alone. Rawdon? Never mind. Go. I shall go and hear what I can hear outside the music room.
Poor Rawdon. Poor Sir Pitt. Rawdon pacing the terrace, stunned with the thought that Becky has merely led him on. And poor Sir Pitt, about to be stunned in the music room. With Miss Crawley, we shall eavesdrop there in a moment. Come, let us away to the music room where Becky has not yet uttered one syllable, merely fixed Sir Pitt with those green eyes. Let him wait. Let him wonder, even cringe, this baronet of the British Empire.
Becky, why do you stare that way?
Are you frightened, Sir Pitt?
What have I done?
How does it feel to be frightened? Not pleasant?
No, it ain't.
Ah, do you know how it feels to be terrified? I doubt you do. I shall tell you. Your heart trembles like a wild bird caught in a snare. All of you is hot. But the blood cold in your veins. You're filled with dread, haunted, lost, not knowing whither to turn or what can save you.
What kind of talk is that?
Would you like to be terrified, Sir Pitt?
What I don't like is this damn foolery. I am your employer, miss, and I ain't obliged to listen.
You will listen to every word I have to say. Your wife is terrified, sir. And what kind of villain are you to tell her the first Lady Crawley comes to haunt her?
What?
How in God's name could you be so cruel?
Now, you wait, Becky Sharp. 'Twas only a joke.
Joke or not, you meant to torment her. She's a poor lost soul, and you the soul of an icicle.
How was I to know she'd take on like she does?
Why, Sir Pitt, you did know, for you know her. How could you poison her mind when already you know her mind is half gone?
Tell you I didn't intend it. Will you listen to me?
I will hear your defense, if defense you have.
She forever sees the Queen's Crawley hand, or thinks she does. I said one day, laughed when I said it, Miss Becky, mark you that. Hee-hee, I said. Likely the ghost be the first Lady Crawley. 'Tis all I said. Didn't know till now she took it to heart, her mind all rattled like it is. How was I to know?
Because you do know how she is, and tomorrow you'll mend this abomination. You'll tell her you lied and make her believe it.
Confound it, there is a Queen's Crawley ghost.
Believe that if you like, but it's not the first Lady Crawley wanting the second dead, for that's what she believes, thanks to you, sir.
Becky, will you never forgive me?
If she forgives you, will you go tomorrow?
I'll go. I will. I will.
Bravo, Rebecca, bravo.
Oh, Miss Crawley.
It's for shame. I've no love for Lady Crawley, but I'd not try to send her to the madhouse like you.
No, Matilda.
Oh, but he didn't intend it, Miss Crawley.
You defend him, abuse, then defend.
I say what I think.
Indeed you do. I congratulate you upon your eloquence. And now that this horrid business is concluded, do let's have a glass of brandy.
That brandy? Brandy!
Oh, look at him run. Tail between his legs. You very nearly sunk him without trace. Ah, Becky, you do my heart good. I would you were in my employ, not Pitt's.
Hearken to what Miss Crawley just has said. You may be sure Becky harks. 'Tis the first sign Miss C may take Miss S back to London. Tomorrow, perhaps, as I do not promise, we may at last manage that assignation in the Orangery. Your always devoted servant, William Makepeace Thackeray. Fair is dramatized by Nancy Moore and features Dolores Sutton as Becky Sharp. Rawdon Crawley is portrayed by Charles Kimbrell, and your host for Author Studio is Earl Hammond as William Makepeace Thackeray. This program is produced and directed by Frank Papp and brought to you by Natural Wear Miss Clairol, to know you're the best you can be. Ralph Camargo speaking. This program comes to you from the Radio Playhouse. It's not nice to eavesdrop, but it's fun. So let's check in on the comedy of errors at the Baxters. On the Little Things in Life, brought to you by the O-Cedar Angler Broom. It gets the dirt other brooms miss.
I sweep my floor and I still hear sugar underfoot. I hate that straw broom.
That's the kind of dirt straw brooms miss. But an O-Cedar Angler Broom would get it. Angler bristles are cut on an angle to keep more tips on the floor, and the tips are closer together. O-Cedar Angler gets the dirt other brooms miss.
O-Cedar makes your life easier.
What do you hear from your floor?
Nice town. O-Cedar makes your life easier.
Do you think all antiperspirants are basically the same? Well, ban roll-on antiperspirant may just change your mind. Take effectiveness, for instance. Tests have shown that ban roll-on antiperspirant will actually help stop wetness better than most leading sprays. Make your own test soon. Pick up a bottle of ban roll-on
and you may discover what we've shown in tests. Ban Roll-On Antiperspirant. Proof that not all antiperspirants are created equal.
Bob, your mother's on the phone. She wants to talk to you. She's worried about Aunt Maggie.
Yeah, so am I.
Don't let your mother know you're worried now.
Hello, Mom. What's your problem? Oh, no, no, no. What's to be worried about you? Look, Mother, the airlines keep track of the weather, and so far, so good.
Tell her we'll let everybody know as soon as Aunt Maggie's here.
Mother, Aunt Maggie left Montana. She has to change in Chicago, fly into Bradley, and I'll be there. Hartford. Yeah, I'll be there. I'll meet her. I'll get her luggage, and as soon as I've driven back home, about an hour and a half, maybe 2 hours, we will call you. Okay? Now, don't worry, okay? All right. Goodbye. Don't worry. I'm worried.
Me too.
The very thought of Aunt Maggie changing planes in Chicago.
I don't want to think about it. I changed planes once there, and I think I ran 2 miles to make connections. I barely made it. I never saw such a huge airport.
I guess the new Dallas airport is a dozen times bigger.
Well, I'm not concerned with Dallas at this point, unless Aunt Maggie winds up there.
It still baffles me. Aunt Maggie taking a plane.
I know.
You know, she's always said she'd never go up in a plane.
I know. Well, she's older. I mean, I think when you get older, you get braver.
Oh, I thought it was just the opposite. As you get older, you're supposed to get more conservative.
Oh, I don't know. I think as you get older, you think, the heck with it. Take a chance. You've got a lot less to lose. You know, why not have some fun if you can?
Maybe.
I often think of the things I wanted to do before I ever got married. You want any more meatloaf?
No. I'm finished.
Okay. I'll get you some coffee, and then you better get to the airport, dear.
What did you want to do before you ever got married?
Nah, doesn't matter now.
I want to know. What did you want to do?
Honey, it doesn't matter, and I've forgotten about it.
No, you haven't forgotten about it, or you wouldn't bring it up.
Well, I wanted to be sort of female Lawrence of Arabia, racing across the desert on a camel, and, of course, eventually being swept off my feet, or rather off my camel, by a prince who threw out his other wives into the desert and made me wife number one.
Boy, marrying me was kind of a come-down, wasn't it?
Yes, I think so. Matter of fact, but I adjusted, I did. I adjusted, dear. Mainly because I figured I might have ended up as number four wife, which wouldn't appeal to me at all. Here's your coffee.
Boy, the youthful daydreams we all have, huh?
I know.
I have to admit that I was so jealous when Hillary climbed Mount Everest.
Why, honey, you can hardly go up in the Ferris wheel.
Yeah, I know.
You and Mom.
All right, I better stop for the airport.
Yeah. Are you sure you don't want me to come with you?
No, definitely not.
Why?
Because if Aunt Maggie has wound up in Timbuktu, somebody better be here to answer the phone.
Yeah, you're right. Well, actually, you don't need to start for Bradley yet. I don't think Aunt Maggie hasn't even arrived in Chicago, and that takes 2 hours to New York. Or Bradley.
I know. Somehow, knowing Aunt Maggie, I feel better just being at the airport. I wouldn't want the plane to come in early, and I'm not there.
Well, they never come in that early, dear.
Yeah, I know. You don't think Aunt Maggie got Kennedy Airport mixed up with Bradley, do you?
Why would she get those two mixed up?
Because when I talked to her, she said I always get the Kennedys and the Bradleys mixed up.
What does that mean?
Well, that's what I said. And she said something like, well, I never forgot when that Walter Kennedy married a Bradley and they lived right next door to my cousin Dorothy.
Go on, get to the airport.
All right.
I'm quite sure Aunt Maggie, with her first ride in a plane, has everything straight. Well, now let's hope so, anyhow. Do you have the car keys?
Yeah.
You do. Good, fine. Now, listen, dear. If you miss connections at the airport...
Why should I miss connections? I'll be standing right there when everyone comes off the plane.
Honey, knowing Aunt Maggie, let's figure out every contingency.
Right.
Okay, now. If you do not see her, if you cannot find her...
And she calls here... Tell her to go straight to the main information booth and stay there.
Right,
yes, and right. Do not try to get her luggage.
Yeah, do not try to get her luggage.
I will get her suitcase. Right. She is not to move from the information booth.
I've got it. You will get her suitcase. She is not to move from the information booth.
All right, you got that all straight?
I hope so. I think so, dear, yes. Now you get going. If she arrives in Hartford and you're not there, she knows she'll be panicky. And when Aunt Maggie is... Go. Goodbye, darling.
Goodbye. You know, I feel as though I were setting out to rescue Livingston from the jungle.
I'm sure it's not far different. Now, drive carefully, dear, won't you? No, Alex. No, come here, dear. Daddy's going down the turnpike. It's a long drive, and he'd have to leave you sitting in the car at the airport. You wouldn't like that. Alex, quiet now. Mommy wouldn't like anybody to come steal you out of the car, either. No way, mommy boy. How'd you get your bone, huh? How's your bone? Huh? Get your bone. Let me play with you. Let me play. Uh-oh. Oh, dear. No. Just a minute, Alex. Mommy has to get the phone, huh? Get on. Come on. Hello? Yes, it is. Yes. Hello? Aunt Maggie, what are you doing in Atlanta?
Uncle Thaddeus, can I ask you something?
Don't ask for money.
It's this cold, Unc.
Nephew, you need four-way nasal spray.
Will it help?
Use as directed, four-way provides the fastest decongestant relief possible for stuffy noses and sinuses.
Unc, that's a blast. Is it expensive?
Bah, four-way costs a darn sight less than the leading brand. You can't buy faster relief at any price.
I'm gonna get some four-way.
Maybe you've got a nose for business after all.
In my house, we've got a fully automatic kitchen. Me. And the worst job I've got to do is scrape and scrub that dirty oven.
Well, there's a different way to clean your oven that's less work. The overnight way, with Mr. Muscle.
Promises, promises.
It's true. With Mr. Muscle, you just spray it on at night, and while you sleep, its self-scouring foam lifts up the grease and grime.
That's a good idea.
So next morning, you just wipe clean.
You know, I've got a feeling that Mr. Muscle's going to be a good man to wake up to.
How did Aunt Maggie get to Atlanta?
I don't know. She phoned just as you drove off. I left a message at Bradley Airport for her.
Uh-huh.
Didn't you get it?
I didn't get it.
Well, apparently Aunt Maggie met some lovely woman on the plane, and they had a glorious time talking. It turned out that Aunt Maggie knew somebody this woman knew.
Oh, that's fine. That's okay. But how could she get on a plane for Georgia?
I don't know. I said, didn't the man at the gate check your ticket when you changed planes in Chicago? And she said that the woman she was sitting with was going to Bradley, too, and she just went along with her. And they ran all through O'Hare Airport and just barely made the plane, and they whisked them through, you know.
Yeah, but the guy at the gate always checks the tickets.
Yeah, well, I said that. I said the guy at the gate always checks the tickets, Aunt Maggie. But Aunt Maggie said they were so late, and they had said to some man who was sweeping the floor, is that the plane for Hartford? And he said he guessed so. And they just raced through the gate, yelling, this is our plane! Come on, Maggie.
So, Aunt Maggie is in Atlanta, Georgia.
Yes, I told her to stay overnight at a motel there at the airport and then make arrangements to fly up tomorrow.
And did you tell her that I was at the Hartford airport waiting for her?
Yes.
Uh-huh. Well, what did she say?
Well...
What did she say?
She said, I don't know why Bob gets so excited about things.
Now I have to drive all the way there tomorrow to get her.
Well, maybe I can do it. We'll see. Anyhow, she's checking on reservations to Hartford, and she's calling us at 10 sharp tonight, which is just about now.
I drove 2 hours to Bradley, waited 2 hours, 2 hours back.
I know, but she was all excited, my goodness, you know.
Yeah.
Being in the city, she said, you know, where Clark Gable had been, she was just so...
Clark Gable?
Gone with the Wind?
Well, they didn't film Gone with the Wind in Atlanta. I just
well,
read in the
Well, Aunt Maggie thinks they did, and she was all excited. Anyhow, I said, why didn't she stay there tonight with this friend she met on the plane? Oh, Mrs. Edson or something, I know. Do some sightseeing tomorrow. Enjoy herself, you know. There she is. There she is. You want to talk to her?
No, I don't. I'm so tired and mad and fed up. Well, I mean, I love Aunt Maggie, but...
Hello?
Peg?
Oh, yes. Did you find a motel, Aunt Maggie?
Yes. And you know what they want for it? $22.50.
Well, you know, everything's gone up these days. Why don't you share a room with this new friend that you met on the plane?
I'm not speaking to her.
What's the matter?
Her family is from the South.
What did you say, Maggie?
Her family came from the South. And she said to me that my family just ruined Atlanta.
Aunt Maggie, either the connection is bad. I don't quite understand.
Germans marched through the city?
Well, Maggie, that's the Civil War. That's over 100 years ago. What do you...
I'll be on flight 16 to Hartford tomorrow morning. Will somebody meet me?
Yes. Either Bob or I'll be there, dear. Which airline...
And Mrs. Edson had the nerve to tell me that she had never liked Clark Gable. Clark Gable!
Maggie, not just because your friend never liked Clark Gable,
dear. Now, somebody meet me because I am very upset. Goodbye, dear.
She's getting into Hartford on flight 16 tomorrow morning.
What time?
I'll call the airport. Don't worry. Apparently, Aunt Maggie and her new friend, Mrs. Edson, are refighting the Civil War. You know, Aunt Maggie's always felt that Clark Gable represented the Civil War. Of course, that was after she got over Ronald Coleman.
Whom she blames for the French Revolution. Ah, this is a far, far better thing. Oh, boy. And she'll be here till Christmas?
Well, at least... Well, let's put it this way, dear. We love her. Now, let's face it.
No, let's put it this way. We face it, then we love her.
Well, right? In any case, honey, she'll be here tomorrow.
The Little Things in Life has been brought to you by Ban Rolon, America's leading roll-on antiperspirant. This program comes to you from the Radio Playhouse.
To have and to hold. To have and to hold. The story of the traditional vows, the new morality, and the people caught in the conflict between them. Brought to you by Loving Care Color Lotion from Clairol.
Hi, I'm the teacher, and that's Roland Gibbs on drums. He drew my picture last week with gray hair. Me, with 11 grays. I gave hair coloring a second thought. I found out about Loving Care Color Lotion from Clairol. It has no peroxide, doesn't change my natural color, and it's good for my hair. Loving Care covered my grays and made my hair softer and shinier. Gotta give the kid credit.
Loving Care Color Lotion from Clairol. It's good for your hair.
Joey, I haven't tapped it for years.
Mom, you're doing fine.
Shut up, old kid.
5 minutes, Claus.
Let's sit down. We're meeting your father for dinner. How do I look?
You always look pretty.
Thanks, sweetheart.
Especially your hair. Mom, the class is starting.
Oh. Even when you can't hold up any longer, your hair can with Final Net. Final Net is not an aerosol. There's no wasteful propellant. It's concentrated to hold your hair all day. Final Net holds up longer than you do.
Would you like some more cheesecake?
No, thanks, Caroline. That is a handsome cheese set.
Yes, isn't it? It's Georgian silver, and it's been in the family for years.
Oh, River Run is a beautiful place.
Uh-huh.
The view from this terrace is everything Lynn said it was. She wrote me how hard you work in the garden.
I wish I could get Lynn interested in it, but...
You do have a staff.
Oh, yes, but nothing takes the place of being involved yourself. Say, tell me, how did you leave Zurich?
Very happily. Lynn and I had some great days there, but we wanted to get back home.
Uh-huh. And just where is your home, Kurt?
Oh, a little town in Vermont you've never heard of, Preston.
Oh. Your parents live there?
No, just an aunt who brought me up. My parents died when I was very young. I can't even remember them.
Oh, I'm sorry, Kurt. I didn't know. Do you plan to go back to Vermont?
Well, just for a visit, probably. There's no reason to stay. My aunt has a ski lodge, and, well, I leave everything to her. She manages very well.
Oh, dear.
What's the matter?
I can see Hodges is setting the tulip bulbs too close together. Let's walk over there, and I'll
set really him should
straight.
Set him straight, Lynn.
But, Daddy, Kurt hasn't done anything.
Well, I don't like the idea of his assuming you're going to get married right away.
We both want to get married as soon as possible. I told you we would have been married in Zurich if we could have. The consulate
wouldn't have... thank God for small quantities of red tape.
Since you had him investigated by your friend in Zurich, I think I can trade that off for a short, very short, engagement.
Oh, come on, honey. I did it for your protection.
You know, Kurt was awfully nice about it. He thought it was a huge joke.
Well, I'm glad my concern for you was so amusing.
Oh, Daddy, come on. Would you rather have had him angry?
I still feel that I don't
know
anything,
about you, Kurt.
Well, ask away, Anne, since we're going to be in-laws.
Direct questions don't really do the job.
Why not?
Face the other way, will you?
Do you think you'll find more about me by sketching me?
Mm-hmm. You found me out.
Oh, what have you discovered about me so far?
For one thing, you know how to flatter women.
I haven't paid you one compliment.
Compliments are obvious. What you do is much more subtle.
Well, I'm almost afraid to ask what you mean.
When you talk to a woman, your eyes never leave hers. Most men don't do that.
And what did they do?
It all depends. If there are other women around, they often look them over.
And if there are men?
They watch to see what effect she's having on them. Sort of a, look what I've got that you don't have.
Where did you learn all this?
Wouldn't you like to know?
I would certainly like to know when you think you'll be married. That is, if you know, Lynn.
I'm trying to bring Daddy around.
That's like trying to turn the Queen Elizabeth around in a bathtub.
I'm working on it.
Well, now that Kurt is here, don't you think you could wait at least until he's met some of the family?
They can meet him at the wedding.
Well, as soon as Emily gives the word, I'd like to have a party for you and Kurt. I guess it would really be an announcement party.
How is Emily? I heard she was back in the hospital.
Oh, only for a day or two.
What's the matter this time?
Lynn, don't.
What do you mean?
Well, you sound so unfeeling.
I'm sorry, Caroline. I didn't mean to be impatient, but you remember we rushed back from Zurich the first time and there was no need to.
I'm not sure that's true. Whatever is wrong with Emily, they haven't found out what it is yet.
I must call Jason tomorrow. I'm sorry. I guess I have been wrapped up in myself lately, haven't I?
Well, I've heard that being in love is like, being possessed.
It is. There's a strange feeling that you have no control over your life. Something else has taken over.
May I fix a drink for you, Kurt?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Carter.
Since you call my wife Caroline, don't you think it would be more appropriate to call me Robert?
Yes, sir, Robert.
Do you really have so much respect for me, Kurt? What do you drink?
Scotch and water's fine. Of course I do, Robert.
You know, I've usually observed that excessive respect is a form of servility, which actually is a form of contempt.
I didn't mean it that way.
I'm sure you didn't. Well, cheers. And I suppose this is as close to a conventional father-suitor meeting we're going to have.
I would have talked to you first, except, of course, we were in Zurich.
And in love. Only why the rush to get married in Zurich?
Well, your daughter is very romantic, and Zurich has such happy memories for us.
Oh, I thought it was your idea.
Well, both of us, I suppose.
And what do you plan to do after you get married?
I think we'll settle in the Chicago area. I have no great reason for going back to Vermont.
I see, and what do you plan on doing?
Doing?
Well, yes, I understand you have an income, but would it be sufficient? Don't you plan to settle down to some occupation?
Well, it's a little early to tell. I'll have to look around.
Well, let me know when you decide. I presume you want to be settled in something before you get married,
Lynn. That's the time to get things settled.
There's nothing to be settled in.
Oh, right. Where are you going to live?
Wherever Kurt wants us to.
Don't you have any opinion yourself?
Oh, I suppose it will be around here.
You suppose?
For someone who's never been married, you certainly have a lot of ideas on the subject.
I can afford to. It's not a pressing matter for me. I can be very objective.
I imagine a lot will depend on what Kurt wants to do.
Has he done anything besides be a ski instructor?
I don't think so.
It's going to be hard to put those talents to work around here.
Oh, boy, you sound just like Daddy.
I don't think you mean that as a compliment.
You mean that as a compliment, Robert?
Well, of course I did, Caroline. Your ability to get your own way and still have it seem that you're doing me a favor. That's a rare talent.
All this, Kurt, just because I want Robert to limit himself to one glass of port after dinner.
She cares about your health, Robert.
She wants to run my life.
Now there's a happily married couple for you, Lynn.
Of course we are.
Anne was going on about marriage this afternoon.
Did she have anything significant to say?
I think Anne is a little anti-marriage. Cautious is more like it.
Ah, hear, hear.
Well, Anne should be.
Any special reason?
I am beginning to feel like a specimen under a microscope.
What Caroline means is that our Annie has a natural caution reinforced by
Circumstances.
Well, tell Kurt. He's practically family.
To stop all the mystery, Kurt. What Mother means is that I'm not anxious to get married. And the reason is that old devil money.
Not enough or too much?
Well, money is either or, isn't it?
This is quite enough about me. And if Robert will pass the port, I'd be very happy to toast the happy couple to be.
I'd like a look at Caroline's garden by the light of the harvest moon.
Hey, that's a great idea. Everybody, will you excuse us?
Why, of course.
Kurt, we can reach the garden through the French windows.
Oh, don't you want a sweater, dear?
No, thanks. I have Kurt.
Be careful of moon madness.
It's too late, Annie.
Full moon and full arms.
It's been quite a day.
Kurt, I hope they're not too overwhelming for you. How did you and Daddy make out?
He wanted to know what my prospects are.
Oh. Maybe we ought to talk about it, Kurt.
Of course, we will, but... not under a moon like that. Come here.
To Hold has been brought to you by Final Net, the non-aerosol hair mist that holds up longer than you do. This program has come to you from the Radio Playhouse, a DCA Productions program. Mm-hmm.